We're returning to a topic we've done before.
You see yourself?
What?
You see yourself? I want to make sure.
I see myself in this corner, not in the main one.
Okay.
Is that good, Arthur?
I see you.
Okay, good. Okay, we're returning to a topic we've done before. A, because I have new things to say. But B, because I think it's a fascinating topic. And C, because it's not just Sfir HaSom, but Sfir HaSom was this week's Parsha. So I allow myself to return to... Now, here's the question. When you read Psukim in this week's Parsha, what's your sense about the mood of Sfir HaSomer? This week's Parsha is Perek Chaf Gimel. Perek Chaf Gimel is one of the most well-known Prakim in the Torah, because it's the holidays. We basically lay them on every holiday, Parshas HaMoados, right? And in Parshas HaMoados, not surprisingly, tucked in between Pesach and Shavuos is the mitzvah of Sfir HaSomer. I don't think when you're listening to Kriyas HaTorah and you're reading the Psukim, I don't think there's any sense that we've shifted to some kind of sad or period of mourning. I think it's clear that we're moving towards Shavuos. There are karbanos involved. If you look, source number two, right? Usfar temlochemi macharat haShabbat miyom aviyachem et Omer atzufa sheva Shabbatot motiana ad mi macharat haShabbat haShvi'it tisbru chamishim yom vikraft mincha chadashal Adonai. Right? You count from the karbon you bring on the first day of Chol Hamoed, the karbon haOmer. So the carbon that you bring on Shavuos, which is the Shtei HaLechem, and it works agriculturally also. We bring barley on the second day of Pesach, and we work barley, which Chazal point out is like Machal Behema. And we work ourselves up to a spiritual level where on Shavuos, we bring Shtei HaLechem, which we could have talked about also how fascinating it is that we start when Chametz is Asur, and we work ourselves up to a place where chametz is the mitzvah, right? In a way, no one talks about it this way. Only I do. Chametz is asur on Pesach. Chametz is a mitzvah on Shavuos.
I have a question.
Philosophically, it works nicely because we're working from a level, we left Mitzrayim on a very low spiritual level and we work our way up. And if you ask people nowadays, and we'll get to it at the end, it's the Sefer Achino. If you ask people nowadays, what's Sfir HaSomer? I think the answer is we're counting towards Matan Torah. That's actually not in the Torah, but that's the sense that you get. Okay. On the other hand, Sfir HaSomer has become, as people here are unshaven, right? Sfir HaSomer has become a little bit. I had a wedding, so I'm cheating a little bit. Don't think this is all I could get.
A wedding during the
Americans. It was Rosh Chodesh.
So the second person told me this. What is it? Is this different in Ashkenazi and Sephardi?
First of all, there is. In America, the whole thing's a bit of a joke. Because they make weddings until Rosh Chodesh. Because that's... And then they make weddings after Lag BaOmer. Now, you can't do both ways. Meaning, that only leaves from Rosh Chodesh to Lag BaOmer. That leaves like 20 days of sphere of mourning.
Right.
Okay, but that's the minhag in America. In Israel, they're much more serious about it, even though it's bizarre. Like in Israel, the Rabbanut won't let, Mechal Le Shabbos get married during sphere. I think that's bizarre. It's like, it's a minhag.
Right.
When I was in law school, it's none of your business, but I had a kosher apartment at Columbia. Having one of my kosher apartment mates was a Mechal Le Shabbos. Incredibly careful about kashrus. Used to complain that I wasn't from enough. Because, yes, I use the towel for both milchuts and kleshuts. Because who wouldn't? But he was really... Okay, so then he tells me what... So one time he tells me he needs a seum for Tanis Bechorim. Because he's a Bechor. I say, yeah, but you're a Mechal Shabbos. Like, Tanis Bechorim is just an important thing. But there are things that catch on. So somehow in Israel, But the point, but that's what I want to discuss today, because I think it's obvious that the period, Sfir HaSomer turning into more of a period of mourning, has much more to do with the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, and the history of Beitar and Korban HaBayis, and to be honest, if we really want to more recent, although not that much recent, the Crusades happened during Sphira. Huh? Right. The minhag, for example, of saying, of Ashkenazim, saying Avarachamon, Avarachamim, on Shabbos Mevarchim during Sphira is because Avarachamim is a tefillah that was made up for the Crusades, and the Crusades literally happened then. So, you know, the minhag became to say Avarachamim even on Shabbos Mevarchim. Okay? All of this, the point I want to make, without wasting too much time now, is that there is a connection between halacha and emotion and our sense of where we are in history. And I want to try to prove that to you through Sfira Sa'omer. But first, just to show you how off we are when we think of Sfira Sa'omer as a period of mourning, let's look at the first Ramban on the sheet. Source number one. The Ramban says, V'tziva b'chag ha-matzot. It's a fascinating Ramban. Shiva yamim b'kidusha lifnehem u'l'acharehem. Ki kulam kidoshim u'v'tocham Hashem. Okay, it's a little Kabbalistic. He says, Pesach is 7 days of holiness. Right? Pesach is 7 days long. And it's 7 days of Pesach, and then before and after. What does that mean? Umana mimenu tishava abra in yom shiva shavuot kimei olam. Then after Pesach, you count 7 times 7, shiva shavuot kimei olam, meaning the world was created in 7, so we're multiplying 7 by 7. And listen to this. V'kadesh yom shemini kishmini shel chag. The Ramban says we sanctify the 8th day as if it's the 8th day of Pesach. Now, Pesach does not have 8 days. But Shavuot, Sukkot has 8 days. So he says the 8th day, we sanctify the 8th day of Pesach like we sanctify the 8th day of Sukkot, which is Shmini Atzeres. What does this mean? Now, the third line, this is the key line. V'hayamim hasurim bein tayim kicholo shel moed bein harishon v'hashmini b'chag. Says the Ramban, you know what? Pesach and Shavuot are really one holiday. And there's an extended Sfiras, there's an extended chol ha-moed. Sfiras ha-omer is the chol ha-moed between the first 7 days of the holiday and the 50th day of Sfiras HaOmer, which is really it's the Shmini Atzeres of Pesach. Okay? So in the Ramban, not just that there's no hint of mourning, the Ramban describes it as a joyous period of time, right? Nobody would think, even for the people who are machmir the most in Sfiras HaOmer and Avelos, obviously during Chol HaMoed, there's no Avelos, it's Yontif. So the Ramban describes, philosophically, it's fascinating. The Ramban describes Shavuos as being like the 8th day of Pesach, which works nicely in the sense that, you know, we left Mitzrayim, the goal being to get to Matan Torah. So the way the Ramban sees it, it's really, you know, they're twin holidays. The beginning was Pesach, the end was Matan Torah.
The Ramban knew. He's not even feeling.
Now, he's not saying specifically there's no Avelos. The Ramban knew about that. Right. You know, it's in Shulchan Aruch.
Right.
But the Ramban's saying at core, the period of Sfiras HaOmer was a type of Chol. It's just the phrase. It's so, you know, it's a type of Chol HaMoed between the holiday of Pesach and the holiday of Shavuos. I'm just using it to make the point that, you know, there was no hint here, and originally there was no hint of Avelos. But it's clear that Avelos, you know, found a footing in Sfiras HaOmer, and it's clear that it found a footing for reasons I'd like to discuss today.
But other than counting, is there any connection between the two? Any practical connection?
So, yes. So if you look at the Psukim in source number 2, for example, right? So you count towards something. What are you counting from and what are you counting to?
So you're counting miyom haviachem et omer atanufa, from the day you bring a certain karban, grain-related karban. What are you counting to? V'hikravtem mincha chadasha l'Hashem. So I think the Ramat's not making it up. In the psukim, it's not just I'm counting from 1 to 50. I'm counting from two. I'm counting from a karban to its related karban. Okay, so I think it is in a psukim. Now, let's ask another broad question, which comes up from time to time, and that is, how do you know if a mitzvah is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? For example, there's a major machlokes where the Sfiras HaOmer Bizman Hazeh is it d'oraisa a mitzvah min haTorah or d'rabbanan? Now, the psukim here seem very clear. They don't limit it. The psukim say you have to count. Why would anybody hold Bizman Hazeh that the mitzvah is d'rabbanan? Okay. Huh? We don't need a base. Where does it say you need a base hamikdash?
We don't be.
No, so it might. You're right. But we have to find it. The question is, when it says you should count miyom haviyachem et omer atzunufa, the question is that how you identify the day? Or is that actually the cause of the counting? For example, let's say you shared a birthday with Willie Mays. Okay. So I'm just saying, let's say, so therefore, it's not the fact that Willie Mays' birthday is May 6th that makes your birthday May 6th. It's just the way you can identify it. For whatever reason, Willie Mays is more famous than you are. At least when you were growing up, he was much more famous than me. Right? So it's a funny way of letting people know, but it's not causative. Right? So I think the machlok is in the psukim. Right? Just like the question is when it says miyom aviyachem atramat nifar, right? Until you bring the next karma, is that a way to identify what day you start counting? Or is that the cause of the count? If the, or, you know, Ellie, here's a good example.
Or Ellie, it's a condition.
Moror bisman hazeh. It's not a machlokis. Everybody says it's drabana. I understand. It's a pasuk that says it's supposed to eat maror. So why is it drabana? Because the pasuk says va'achlu et habasar ba'layla zetz le'eshu matzot al mirorim yochlu. The only reference to maror in the Torah is in connection with Karban Pesach. So, okay, we know there's no Karban Pesach. However, matzah has its own pasuk. Matzah has ba'erev tochlu matzot independently. So therefore, matzah retains its status as a mitzvah d'orais b'zman hazeh. Maror, which is contingent on Karban Pesach, loses out. Karban Pesach obviously doesn't exist in b'zman hazeh, so we lost that completely. So I think that's the machlokes. When you see b'zman hazeh machlokes, whenever you find a machlokes b'zman hazeh, is it d'oraisa d'rabbanan? When it's clear in the Torah that it's a d'oraisa, almost certainly the answer is because it's contingent on something Beis HaMikdash related. So again, Karban Pesach is easy. It doesn't exist b'zman hazeh. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't.
You're going to mention.
Again, how do we do
this? It doesn't matter. We
go right to make a bracha.
The Ramah account said it's the right.
I wasn't going to say that.
But say, Bruce, did you turn the volume up on that?
Bruce.
I believe so.
Yeah, the volume.
He's screaming.
He's showing the camera. There's a volume.
That's not what I thought I turned it up. It wasn't.
I thought the one was.
We're trying to get him to come to the shiur. That's what we.
One second. No one can hear anybody online. Just one second. Please. All right.
That doesn't mitigate the.
Sorry, go ahead.
Ellie, can you hear me?
Yes.
How do we identify a rice and the Rabbanan? Because it's in the Torah or because we make a bracha?
No, unrelated to the bracha. It's just Torah. There's no we make brachas on drabbanans, so that's never the way that we can identify it. It has to do with if it's a pasuk in the Torah, it's d'oraisa. If it was rabbinically introduced, it's drabbana. So for example, netilas yadayim is drabbana. We say asher kiddushem sabasivana al tilaydayim. You know, megillah is drabbana. Lighting a menorah is a drabbanan, but we make brachas on those things.
Telly, if the deraita is conditioned on the existence of the Beit HaMikdash, the Rabbanan steps in when it's no longer conditioned, but we want to preserve the...
We're getting there. It's an excellent point. It's an excellent point. When the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai stepped up and made gezeiros. That's really, you know, the transition to Rabbinic Judaism is a result of Chorban HaBayis. And as a result, for example, I have on the sheet, just so you'll know, it's not you who's getting me to do it. You know, lulav, kol shiva, is the gzeira drabana, right? We think bisman hazeh, that taking dalet minim on the first day of Sukkos is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The pasuk says, ula kachtem lachem bayom arishon, pri eitz adar, unrelated to the Beis HaMikdash, as best anybody can tell. Therefore, bisman hazeh, we have a mitzvah d'oraisa. It happens to be that in the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah is every day of Sukkos. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, after Churban HaBayis, didn't want us to lose that. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, we're going to have a mitzvah now, midirabanan, of taking lulav and esrog on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. That's an example of something that was never, it never existed in the Torah, but that's, you know, that was an effort to remember the Beis HaMikdash in a way that we'll discuss in a minute. Okay? Source number four.
I have a question to ask you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you speak and then I'll decide if it was a question or not. Go ahead, Irving. Irving,
is that the question?
I was joking. I'm sorry.
Okay, the question I have is why come we have between Pesach and Shavuos a time of mourning because Rav Akiva's Talmidim died, but why do we have to do one with the other? What's one to do with the other?
Yes, I really like, it was something I wanted to talk about. I have a great share on that, but it's not really our topic. Presumably, it was the end of the Masorah. Rabbi Akiva was the Gadol Hador in a time in which there was nothing written down. If everybody got killed, we would have lost the tradition. And so the destruction of all time of Rabbi Akiva was assumed to be a tragedy big enough to establish Avelus. I do think, I'm with you, Irving, that I think it's become like a bigger deal than maybe it was supposed to be. It happens, I think that's related to like a societal phenomenon, which I think is bizarre, which is, you know, the less you shave, the firmer you are, right? When the Gemara on the Mishnah didn't want people to look like Avelim. But nowadays, you know, somehow it's taken on. Again, I went to this wedding, okay, my nephew's wedding. They're very religious people, don't worry. Okay, I didn't eat. No. And so there's live music and dancing, and there were like yeshiva guys unshaven. I'm thinking, if you came to a wedding, which is like the core gzeira, you know, you can shave. So the answer is, yeah, but then I come back to yeshiva tomorrow, and I look like I can't grow a beard. Or, you know, looking like an avel has taken the place of being religious. I think that's a mistake. Okay, back inside. Here's the key Gemara. In the machlokes of is it d'oraisa or d'rabbanan bizman hazeh, this is the Gemara. Gufa, ask the Gemara. Amar Abaye, mitzvah lemimni yomei u'mitzvah lemimni shavui. Abaye says, literally, there are two mitzvahs or there are two parts to the mitzvah. One is the days, one is the weeks, which isn't, you know, it's not so strange in that the Torah says, Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot Tihyena, right? 7 full weeks. And then it says, count 50 days. So Abaye says there are two parts of the mitzvah, days and weeks. Rabbanan Devei Ravashi, Mani Yomei Umani Shavuei, Rabbanan following Rabbanan following Rav Ashi, who's following the sheet of Abaye, did what we do. Hayom shiva asar yom, shehem shinei shavuos u'shloshayim em la'omer. But Amemar, here's the interesting sheet. Amemar mani yomi v'lo mani shavui. Amemar only counted days, he did not count weeks. Amar zecher l'mikdashu. Strange shita. What does it mean? I only count days, I don't count weeks, because it's just zecher l'mikdash. So why do everything? So Rashi says right there, Amemar mani yomi v'lo mani shavui, Amar, hay minyana dehashta lav chovahu. Counting nowadays is not obligatory. Because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore. We don't have a Karban. Dehaleka Omer. That's exactly what we said. He says you have to count Miyom Haviyachem et Omer Atanufa. We don't have an Omer Bizman Hazeh. So Rashi, so obviously Amemar says, without an Omer, it's not obligatory. Ela Zeicha LeMikdash Ba'almahu Hilkach Biyom Asagi. It's just Zeicher LeMikdash, so we don't do the whole mitzvah. So we just count days. There's no need to count weeks. It's a strange shita. It's hard to find another example where we say, you know, the mitzvah is only drabbanan, so we're just going to do part of it. But when what's the point of really eating that much matzah? Well, that's not a good example. Mara, right. Let's just have a tiny taste of Mara, because, you know, it's just Rabbanan anyway, right? Let's just read part of the Megillah. You know, it's so opposite of like Hanukkah, where we're trying to do more and more and more, right? It seems strange. Like, it's such a hassle to say Shehem Shnei Shavuot, right? It's weird. Okay? That's the Gemara. So, just for methodological purposes, there's a machlokas how you read the Gemara. Again, the machlokas in the Gemara is what? The first shita says, Abai says, mitzvah l'mim niyom, mitzvah l'mim nishavui. And Amemar says, no, we only count days because it's zeicher l'mikdash. There are two ways to understand the Gemara. This is a machlokas harishonim. The first is, the machlokas is, that the first shita, Abaye says, it's Doraisa, and does, right? We don't do Dalad Minim on Chol HaMoed any differently than we do Dalad Minim on the first day of Sukkot, when it's Doraisa, right? So again, so one approach is, the Machlokes of the Gemara is Doraisa Drabana. The second approach is, no, everybody agrees it's Drabana Bizman Hazeh. But one shita is, just because it's Drabana doesn't mean I'm not going to do the whole mitzvah. And the other shita is, for some reason, no, since it's only Zeicher LeMikdash, we're only going to do part, we're only going to count days and not weeks, okay? which yields, it's such a bizarre shita to say the mitzvah is days and weeks. But because Bizman Hazeh, it's just Zeicher LeMikdash, we don't be bothered by saying the weeks, we're only going to count the days.
Are you going to explain the sheet of why they held it directly, despite the fact that there's no
so I did already. I think the sheet that it's Doraisa says it's not contingent on the Karban HaOmer. That's just Willie Mays' birthday. Okay. That's just the way we identify the day. It's like a cool way of saying, it's like it said, you should start counting on the second day of Pesach, which happens to be the day on which we bring the Karban HaOmer. You know, you could argue with me because it's counting towards another carbon, right? There does seem to be something more. But it's clear that if you think that it's Doraisa Bizman Hazeh, like the Rambam does, for example, it's not a Beis HaMikdash related mitzvah. How do I know? Because I counted last night and I wasn't in the Beis HaMikdash. I was in a lovely restaurant in Mamila at Sheva Brachos. Okay. I'm not going to give a plug for the restaurant because they're not paying me. Not like Bruce pays me.
I thought the Rambam thought that the Beit HaMikdash having the capacity to be
I know
built,
you keep saying that, but
I thought that that's what he.
There's nothing to do with this, right, as far as I'm concerned.
I thought it was derided.
You could make the argument. You know what? Let's make that argument that the Rambam's Shita is, you're right, it's carbon related, But we could bring the carbon bismanas there. We don't, but we could. It could be. I'm not saying that's wrong. I don't think you need to say that, but if you've heard that before and it works for you, great.
Yeah, I thought we had.
Okay. Let's read the Rambam inside. Source number 4. Here's the Rambam Hilchos Tzmidim u'Musafim. It's at the very, very end. Perek Zayin Halacha Chaf Bet. The Rambam says, Mitzvat asei lispor sheva shabbatot timimot miyom havaat haomer. There's a mitzvah to count 7 full weeks from the day on which the Omer is brought. I don't know if this helps Bruce's idea or not. It's hard to know. That formulation. Shenemar usfartem lachemi macharat ha-shabbat sheva shabbatot motiyana. U'mitzvah limnot hayamim im ha-shavuot. Says the Rambam, I paskin like Abaye in the Gemara. Mitzvah limimni yomei, mitzvah limimni shavuot. Okay? Shenemar tisperu chamishim yom. U'mitchilat hayom monim. And you count from the beginning of the day, which means days begin at night. So you're supposed to count at night. Lefikach mone balayla mileil shishal sar ben Nisan. Therefore, you start counting on the 16th of Nisan, really Motzei Chag of Yom Tov Rishon of Pesach. Okay? And then the Rambam gives what seems like a strange halacha to us, but it obviously is true. Mitzvah zo al kol ish mi Yisrael u'bechol makom u'bechol zman. So now you can't miss it. The Rambam says, "Doraisa bizman hazeh bechol makom u'bechol zman v'nashim v'avodim piturim mimena." Right. Obviously, it's a mitzvah shesman grama. There's a discussion with some people try to claim that it's not a mitzvah shesman grama, but it seems pretty clear that it is. It's so pretty clear that that's how the Rambam saw it.
So it's the right of the Rambam.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, for sure. Now, the Rambam's point is, it seems like his bigger point is you do both days and weeks, and it's an individual mitzvah. Why would the Rambam have to tell us it's an individual mitzvah?
Because again, the korban, we don't bring the korban.
No. Because there's another mitzvah that looks exactly like this one, which is a mitzvah on Bez Din. What's that? That's a mitzvah counting to Yovel, right? Shemitah and Yovel. So there the pasuk says v'safarta l'cha, singular, right? Just like the Torah says with respect to a woman who's a nida, v'safra la, okay? So there v'safarta l'cha is understood to be a mitzvah on Beis Din. We do not count years of Shemitah to Yovel. Obviously, we also have lost the count, so we don't know what it is. So the Rambam's letting you know, you might have thought, why do I have to count? Let Beis Din count, right? From the day they bring the carbon, I'm not bringing the Shtei Alechem anyway. It's not an individual carbon. So the Rambam says, no, you should know that the plural of Usfartem Lachem in the Torah means it's a mitzvah al kol ish v'ish, like the plural of Ulekachtem Lachem v'yom arishon, pre-etzal, etc., etc. The general rule is when a mitzvah is given in the plural,
yeah,
it's on each of us. When it's given in the singular, then you have a question. There are plenty of singular mitzvahs that are on each of us also. But that's what the Rambam is pointing out.
Why does Shlit Zibor have to say that well?
He doesn't. Absolutely not. It's a big misnomer.
Uh-huh.
The idea is that people need to know what day it is before they make a bracha. So, Save, if you make a bracha, yeah, and then you wait to hear what other people say,
yeah,
there's a discussion whether you yotze with that bracha, because you, when you made the bracha, you didn't know what day it was.
He's not making it for everybody.
So that's where the tradition started. You could just bang,
yeah,
and say last night was 17.
Have a sign, what day it is.
Correct. Okay. It's not part of the ceremony at all.
Saying amen could be a problem.
Saying amen could be a problem. You probably, if you want to be from like Bruce, so then you should have in mind when you say amen, not to be yotzei the bracha. Bruce also does that on Rosh Chodesh for Hallel.
Nice,
right?
Nice, Bruce.
Other times. Listen, yeah, it can't all be, but you're right. You have to be careful not. If you have in mind to be yotzei, that's a problem. If it was up to me, we would cancel the rabbi, saying the bracha. I think it causes more problems.
It includes people who missed the day, so they could be also.
Okay, although they're better off that you haven't, you know, you could just say to the guy next to you in shul, right, could you make a bracha for me?
Sorry, I also missed.
Huh?
Say sorry, I also missed.
When I was a little kid, Rav Moshe Feinstein was the Gadol Hador. Everybody knew Rav Moshe Feinstein was the Gadol Hador. We went to Muncie, we had cousins, and Rav Moshe Feinstein's son was Rabbi Tendler, and he was in shul. And they were mechabit him on Friday night to make the bracha. Remember, I said to my father, so bad, like, what if he missed a night?
Oh.
You know, like, everybody's quiet. He has to count. What if he missed a night? He'd have to say to everybody, I missed a night. So my father said to me, he didn't miss a night. You know? I remember that. But I will tell you this. Interesting. There's a tshuva. The whole, by the way, the whole psak that everybody knows, if you miss a night, you can't make another bracha. It's not so clear that that's really the halacha. That's what we accept.
So
there's a great tshuva. This person wrote to Rav Asher Weiss saying, I'm about to start my job as a rabbi in a new shul. I missed a night. It'll be humiliating to me if the new rabbi shows up and he's like, you know, I can't count. I missed a night. So Rav Asher Weiss answers him saying, if you really feel like it would be humiliating, you could count. There's enough support out there for letting you do that. But he said, but if you want my advice, you should show up and tell them the truth. That rabbis are fallible and make mistakes. Okay. And the idea that, like, you know, you can never, all of the halachos we have, like there are tshuva, Rabbeinu Tam missed Yala V'Yavo. He admitted, you know, okay, he didn't miss Yala V'Yavo because he was thinking of a TV show. He was probably thinking and learning. But the idea that, you know, Gedolim can make, you know, I don't know if this guy became a rabbi, was a Gedol, I don't know. Obviously, the name doesn't appear in the tshuva. But I urged him, before the first draft came out, like I saw it, and he didn't have, like in Igros Moshe, he tells you who wrote to him, the date. Right. And like, that's fun, because then you could find out and you could, you know. So I said to him, you got to put in the names. Like, that's the fun. So obviously, he doesn't put in names when he disagrees. When a guy writes to him saying, this is what we should do, and he writes back saying, no, that's a really dumb idea. It's against 9 Gemaros. So he doesn't put the guy's name in, because that wouldn't be nice. But when he writes back saying, that's a great idea, I love it. Okay, so that's the Shita Sarambam. Now, let's read a Baal HaMor in source number 5. The Baal HaMor basically asks all the good questions on Sfiras HaOmer, and we will use the Baal HaMor to suggest an answer to our question. The basic question we have, and we've seen a bunch of things, the basic question we have is, what in the world is a Shita that says, well, it's only Zeicha LeMikdash, so let's only count the days and not the weeks. It's too much of a, you know, too much of a hassle to do the whole mitzvah, right? That doesn't seem to make any sense. Okay, now the Baal HaMor. Forget everything we saw. Let's just read a really good Baal HaMor who asks really good questions. Uvisfirat HaOmer Yesh Shoalim. Ma Tam, famous question. Ma Tam Ein Anu Omrim Bo Zman. Why do we make a Shechianu? On all mitzvos that we do from time to time for the first time, we make a Shechianu. Right? We make a Shechianu on Lulav. We make a Shechianu on Sukkah. We make a Shechianu on Pesach. Why do we make a Shechianu on the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? That's question one. Okay, next. Va'od. Ma ta'am ein anu sofrim below bracha b'yom tov sheni shel Pesach. Kida amrina linan Sukkah b'shmini safek shvi meisav yasfinan bruchi lo mevorchinan. He says, we have a Sveika Diyoma. He lived in Chutz Laretz, right? If you remember when you're living in Chutz Laretz, like the most bizarre thing is you can't Sfira someone, then you have a Seder. You're not supposed
You do that first before you start the Seder?
Yeah. Some people do it after. It doesn't matter. It's the same night. Those things are simply inconsistent, right? Doesn't make any sense. So the Baal HaMor says, why are we making a bracha? We don't make a bracha on Sukkah when we sit in a Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, where there are two inconsistent things going on. If it's Sukkos, it's not Shmini Atzeres. If it's Shmini Atzeres, it's not Sukkos, right? Those things cannot coexist. So he says, same thing we do, Linyan Sukkah, B'Shmini, Suffolk Shmini, we don't make a bracha. Mipnei she'birkat ha'sukkah omedet kineged kiddush hayom. Because you can't make kiddush saying tonight is Shmini Atzeres if you're making a bracha on your sukkah. It's inconsistent. Hachanami, Bircha Sa'omer Omedet Kineged Kiddush Hayom. Okay? By the way, just as an aside, but it's interesting, this shows you the power of brachos. In America, in Chutz La'aretz, many people don't sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Chasidim, whatever, right? The Gemara is clear. You're supposed to sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. How did the minhag develop against the Gemara? It's not even a machlokas in the Gemara. So Rav Salvechik once pointed out, the second you stop making a bracha, people stop taking it seriously. If I'm not making a bracha, what? There's probably no mitzvah. So why am I going to sit in a sukkah? I'd rather sit inside. Because he says people confuse the bracha with the mitzvah, which is a wrong equation. You can be yotze a mitzvah without making a bracha, right? Sfardim, the Rambam paskins, you make one bracha on Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, but he counts them as two separate mitzvahs, right? The equation between, and all of us do that. Well, if I'm not making a bracha, what's the point? The answer is, huh?
Like hollow.
But
some say, oh, we say hollow, we just don't make a bracha.
Sfaradim say halal every Rosh Chodesh without making bracha. Just to let you know.
Right.
Sfaradim only have one bracha, ligmor et ha-halal. Mm-hmm. So you can't make that bracha on Chatzi Halal.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So they don't make a bracha.
That's from the Rambam, right?
Right.
What's our Rosh Chodesh?
Huh?
What's our Rosh?
We made up another bracha. Ligmor et ha-halal. We made it up.
We have good sources, Bruce.
Okay. But I'll tell you where this came up. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
When I was a really little kid, you guys were older. There was an oil crisis in America.
We remember that.
Okay.
After
the Yom Kippur War.
Right.
I remember. It's what? I was like 20. You know. I remember the gas station. First of all, there were like lines, and there were like odds and even days. But the gas station we used to go to, they couldn't change the machine when gas became more than a dollar. They had to say that, you know, the price said it's whatever it says on the machine,
right.
It's a dollar plus what it says on the machine.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Because of that, President Nixon.
Yes. I remember that.
Okay.
Yeah,
decided that they were not going to switch back from daylight savings time because it would save
oil
right, yes. And it would save lighting because the day would stay light later. It didn't matter. Oh, so the problem was davening in the morning because Nate's was like, you know, 8 o'clock or something on a late day. So people who are used to davening at six, there's no shita that allows you to put on tefillin. That's before Zman Hanachas Tefillin. So Rav Moshe Feinstein paskined that since we're getting up in the morning anyway to go to work, there's no real fear that you're going to fall asleep with your tefillin on. It's not like it's really the nighttime.
So he
allowed people to put on tefillin in the morning.
In the morning when it was dark.
Dark.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But then he said, but you know what?
Yeah.
If during the course of the day you can close the door to your office, put on tefillin again during the day. Okay, that way we'll cover all of our bases. Now, if you ask me, when would you make a bracha? So if you ask me, this is why I'm not the governor.
I would say,
don't make a bracha in the morning.
Right.
Because then it might be a bracha levatela, because it's dark out.
Right. Wait.
Make a bracha, you know, during the day. But Moshe said, no. You make a bracha when you put on tefillin. Now, the perush was, the Rav Moshe felt, if he told people you could put on tefillin in the morning at 6 in the morning when it's dark, but don't make a bracha, people wouldn't take it seriously.
Okay.
They would assume I'm not really getting the mitzvah.
Right.
So he probably wasn't the right result halachically when you're a posek. You have to take these things into account. So I'm saying, so we do get caught up on no bracha, don't wake me up. You know, I'm not, that's not a serious thing. Okay. This one case says unbelievable. This morning a guy came to me during Pesukei Dezimra in Yeshiva and he said, I'm embarrassed to tell you this. I don't know why. I just had like a brain frog. I took off my tefillin. Do I have to make a bracha when I put it back on? Like he was just tired.
He doesn't even know to put them back on.
This is why you're not Rav Moshe Feinstein. I may not be Rav Moshe Feinstein, but you're definitely not. No, of course he doesn't have to put him back on. But he's davening. He wants to say Shema with his tefillin on. Okay, anyway, the answer is I told him, yes, you have to make. When you put on tefillin, you have to make a bracha. No matter how many times, right? If you go to the bathroom, right, you have to. Wait, there is a situation, let me be clear. There's, right, if you took off your tefillin with a plan to put it back on again,
right,
then you don't have to make a bracha. Unless you went to the bathroom. Because if you go to the bathroom, then you were not allowed to wear tefillin when you were in the bathroom. So even if you said to yourself, okay, I'm taking off my tefillin now, I'm going to go to the bathroom, I'm coming back, putting them back on, you still have to make a bracha. Unlike talis.
Right. Yeah,
because in theory, you could wear your talis in the bathroom. It's not us, sir. It's a baguette. We wear tzitzis in the bathroom, except for Bruce. Bruce takes his off and comes back. But goes to mikvah. Huh? Stop. Okay.
Do we really sit in the, you know, people that sit,
why would I have made that up?
In the sukkah.
Huh?
I don't know anybody that sits in the sukkah.
Well, in Israel, nobody. In Israel. No, of course not. I'm sorry. It's a din in Sfeika Diyoma. Of course you're right. Nobody sits in a sukkah on Shmini. I'm so sorry. Nobody sits in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. The Gemara says in Chutz La'aretz, where Shmini Atzeres might really be the seventh day of Sukkos, right? If we play through that thing, so sit in a sukkah, but don't make a bracha. You gotta be. You can't be sitting there like saying, "Well, I thought I was religious." You know. Okay, sorry about that. I should have been clear. This whole question of the Balamar. It's just in Chutz La'aretz, right?
Okay.
I just want to let you know, you might think, well, I don't have a second Seder. Okay.
So when did you say screw it up here?
I always miss now. I'm used to saying it at the Seder. Okay. By the way, I just want to say, I remember the last time I missed. I could tell you like exactly when it was.
Decades ago, probably.
Yes, you probably miss tomorrow, for sure.
Huh?
Yeah, you're sure it's hard to miss.
The second I say it, then it's going to be like, then I'm going to, something terrible is going to happen. So I'm not going to say it, but I do remember. Okay, but Bruce is right. You go to Marv, if you go to Shul, you're not going to miss.
I go to an early minion sometimes.
They don't have those in Efrat.
Oh,
you're saying on a Friday night, if you make early Shabbos.
Yeah. Every day.
Every day there is?
Mr. Marv. Together, and then you have to
Where is that minion?
Yeah.
Really? Goyim. Okay, so okay, that is a problem. Although almost certainly they do it after Shkia, it's been Ashmashos.
Zayit, what do you want?
Zayit, we're ultra orthodox in the Zayit. We don't do things like that. Okay, back in the Balamar.
Yeah.
So first question was, why not Shachianu? Second question is, how can we count on the second night of Pesach in Chutz La'aretz if we're about to have a Seder? Okay. Va'od. Fifth line down, or fourth line down. Va'od. Matam ein anu sofrim shtei sfirot. Now he asks the real question. If we really have a Sfeika Diyoma in Chutz La'aretz, so that we're keeping 2 days of Yantav, why don't we count in the alternative? Two Sfirot, Misafek, Kimo Shanu Osim Shnei Yamim Tovim Misafek. Why don't we say, Hayom Shiva Asar Yom, Shisha Asar Yom? Because those are the two possibilities. Okay. Uklalo Shel Davar. Ein lanu lahachmir b'sfirat. So he says, what's the answer? The answer is, ein lanu lahachmir b'sfirat ta'omer, she'eino ela l'zecher ba'alma. He says, we're simply not going to go to town on sfirat ta'omer with all these chumros, because sfirat ta'omer is not that important. It's just a zecher lemikdash. V'hachin asikna beduchta b'menachos. This is what pshat is in the Gemara Menachos that we read in source number four, source number three. Ameimar mani yome v'lo mani shivuei. Amar zecher lemikdashu. That's what the Gemara means. Yeah, exactly what Rashi had suggested. It's just not that important.
What about the Rambam?
Okay, so the Rambam thinks it's still right. So he clearly disagrees. Va'afal pi sha'anu monim yamim u'shvuot. He says, but he knows our menhag. We in fact count days and weeks. So how could he be claiming we don't make a shechianu and we don't count in the alternative because it's just not that important? The proof is because the Gemara says Amemar counted days and not weeks, but we don't possibly like Amemar. We count days and weeks. He says, Minhag hu biyadeinu. It's just a minhag. Aval lahat ino zman, but to make us make a shechianu, ein lanu, that we don't have. Va'od, shalom matzinu birkat zman ela bidavar sheyesh bo shum hana'a. We only make a shechianu on things that have hana'a. Here I think he means it's a joyous mitzvah. Go netilat lulav, shuba l'simcha. Right? People are happy to take a lulav. Utkiat shofar l'zikaron bein Yisrael la'aviyem shabbat shamayim. Umikra megillah. D'chas rachmana alanu parkinan. God saved us. Upidyon haben. Shemivarech avi haben shechiyanu. L'fisha yatsa misafeg nefel. Right? And pidyon haben. He's so happy because your son is clearly going to live. Right? It's like on a plane when they shut off the seatbelt sign. You're going to live. Okay? D'chol sheshaha shloshim yom ba'adam eino nefel. Because if you live more than 30 days, you're likely going to make it. Okay, we forget there was a time where, you know, infant mortality was really high. Ulisfirat ha'omer, he says, ein bo zecher l'shum hana'a, ela, here's the key line, la'agmat nafshenu l'churban beit ma'avayenu. Says the Baal Hamor, Sfirat ha'omer bizman hazeh is sad. You know why? Because it reminds us of the fact that we don't have a Karban HaOmer and we don't have a Karban Shtei Alecha. This is the answer to the question. It's not the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. It's that on its own, Chazal were sensitive to the fact that the nature of Sfiras HaOmer changed after Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's true, we continue with the mitzvah. But the mitzvah used to be joyous, and now the mitzvah is kind of sad. And this gets us to the question of, you know, when are mitzvahs happy and when are mitzvahs sad? And the Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, there are two types of remembrances that we have amongst mitzvahs. One is Zecher LeMikdash, reminds me of the Beis HaMikdash, which makes me happy. And there's such a thing called Zecher L'Churban, which reminds me of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and it makes me sad. So, for example, look at source number six. This is almost the first Gzeira made post-Churban by Hashemi. Barishona haya lulav nita b'mikdash shiva u'b'medina yom echad. Originally, people did the mitzvah of lulav one day, the first day of Sukkot, but in the Beis HaMikdash, you went to the Beis HaMikdash, they did it 7 days. Okay? Mishachara Beis HaMikdash Hiskin Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai Shiehe Lulav Nital Medina Shiva Zecher LeMikdash. Okay? Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai came along and said, you know what? Now that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, I want people to have a chance to do Lulav 7 days. Not just one day. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did not intend that to be sad. He intended that to be happy. Taking a lulav and esrog is joyous. So yeah, it could be the first year after the Churban, you know, lahavdil, when you're in Avelos. So anything that reminds you of the person who passed away is almost by definition sad. But as time goes on, there are happy memories. So what the Mishnah is saying is when you take a lulav and you close your eyes, You're in the rebuilt, but you're in the Beis HaMikdash, and it's beautiful, and it's clean, and it's spectacular, and thousands of people are waving a lulav, you know, and it's great, and it's joyous, okay? And then the Gemara asks the question, Mila landa abdinan zeichel HaMikdash, how does Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai know that you're supposed to do something zeichel HaMikdash? The Gemara says, this is a proof from a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Ki ala arukalach umi makotecha er paechnu, Hashem, Ki nidcha karulach Zion hi doresh ein la. Zion does not have people seeking her out. Doresh ein la, says the Gemara, michlal debaya drisha. So there is a pasuk of Zion doresh ein la, which Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai uses as a source for doing things that remind us of the Beis HaMikdash bebinyana. The Beis HaMikdash in its joyous sense. Okay? At the Seder, source number 7, when we say Zecher LeMikdash Kehila, Kein Asa Hil Bisman Shabbos Mishra Kaimai, or Korech Matzah Umor, or Pesach Matzah Umor, right? Ochlan Biyacha, the Kain Masha Nema, Al Matzah Umrom Yochluhu. Anybody sad when they say that? No. That's Zecher LeMikdash. That's a joyous remembrance. What a great thing that Hillel did when the Beis HaMikdash was around.
You're also reclining, so therefore it can't, and that's to show you that it's not a set.
It's obviously not set.
Not set.
On the other hand, source number 8, Morin Baba Basra, Samacham and Bet. Elakach, Amru Chachamim, is a discussion of how we're supposed to behave post-Khurban. Sad Adam et Beito Besid. Okay, you plaster your inside of your house. And you leave over. Many people do this in Israel now, in Chutz Aretz also. Where do you do it? V'kama am Rav Yosef amo al amo am Rav Chizda kineged haPesach. You leave one amo by one amo space unplastered or unfinished opposite the door. Okay. What's another thing? Oseh adam kol tzarchei suda. You make a beautiful meal. You're allowed to have a beautiful meal. Umishayer davar muat. But you leave over something that you don't serve. Mahi amrav papa kisei da kasa da harsna, a certain drink. Another one. Osei yishal kol tachshida. A woman can get dressed up beautifully. Umishayet avamuat. She leaves out something. She's going to wear a necklace and she doesn't leave. Mahi, what is this? Amrav bast sada. That's the kind of necklace thing she doesn't wear. Ring wear. Now, what's the source? Shenemar imeshkachech yushalayim tishkach yemini. Tidbak l'shani l'chikira imlo eskerechi, etc., etc. So pointed out the Rav, there are two different sources because they're two different mitzvot. One is tzionhi dorei shenla. We're supposed to remember the Beis HaMikdash. Tzion, in its glory. Those are happy things. Like korech at the Seder. Like lulav on cholamoid circles. Then there are sad things. Sad things that we do and it sounds like the Baal HaMor is saying that Sfiras Ta'omer fits in the second category. Not because of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, but because it reminds us of something that we don't have. We would like to bring a Karban HaOmer. We would like to bring a Karban Shtei Lechem. We can't. As a result, we're not going to say Shechianu, because Shechianu is only said on joyous mitzvos. And Sfiras HaOmer by itself, the point I'm trying to make is, we think that the Avelut portion of Sfiras HaOmer is related solely to the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva, something that happened later. But the Baal HaMor is hinting at the fact that no, the second the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer changed in and of itself, unrelated to the massacre of the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. And Tosfos seems to say the same. Tosfos says in source number 9, Ubahag Kosav, how we paskin, Dehecha in Shilivarech Balayla Yimne Lamachar. If a person forgot to count at night, he counts during the day. Below Bracha, V'chein Halacha. Ooh, this is a good time to make another point about the bracha thing. Okay, in an unofficial survey that I did, it turns out that if you miss a night, you're 50% more likely to miss another night. Why? Well, because you're out. You know, because you can't say a bracha anymore. So what's the point? The answer is it's a huge point. You can get the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer without the bracha. Like you get the mitzvah of tefillin without the bracha. Yes, this is a sheet of the Bahag that we paskin like, that if you miss 24 hours, you no longer make a bracha. But almost everybody thinks you can be yotzei the mitzvah sfirasam without a bracha. Everybody thinks you can be yotzei the mitzvah sfirasam without a bracha. And that's again where I think we have this we overemphasize the bracha, right? What's the whole thing that if somebody asks you what night it is, you know, God forbid you can't say what night it is, because you could be yotzei without a bracha. That's the whole point. That's why in the great joke that we like to tell, when the Baal Tshuva comes home and says to his wife, what's for dinner? She says, last night we had chicken. Okay? The whole fear is you might accidentally, it's a good joke.
Yes.
It's not offensive. Even in the woke generation, there's nothing offensive.
Well, it means that the husband is not contributing. He's not making the meal.
When we finish the shiur, I'm no longer being recorded. Remind me to tell you a definitely inappropriate joke.
Okay.
But this is good. I heard it from my father-in-law, Zichrono Livracha. Okay. So, but Elka doesn't let me tell it.
How inappropriate can it be as a rabbi?
Huh?
He was.
How inappropriate can it be?
You're right. It's not on your level. Okay. Even when I promise to be good, it doesn't. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Va'acha Hitosa says in the second line, Va'acha Shibirecha La Sfira Omer, what we all do, Yiratzon Shibaneh Beit HaMikdash Merav Yomein. Okay? Where do we have that? Is there another mitzvah? Well, after you take a lulav on Chol HaMoed, you go, Yiratzon Shibaneh Beit HaMikdash Merav Yomein? Right? What other mitzvahs? The sense you get is that Tosos is also sensitive to this. That Sfira Sa'omer is a remembrance of something that we no longer have. Now, let me make a bigger point. Oh, we're running out of time. Let me make the big point, which is why I believe. Wait, what's the question I want to answer? Yeah, which is why we don't say Sfira Sa'om. I'm sorry, which is why we don't make a Shechianu, which is why we don't do any of these other things, because Sfira Sa'omer is not a joyous mitzvah for us. And therefore, why would you make a Shechianu, right? Like the Baal HaMoed says. The bigger point being that I think our sense of Avelos, which is kind of sneaked in or snuck in to Halacha, as we started with, there's no idea of Avelos. I think it came on its own. It came because when you go back to the original question, right? Miyom HaVeyachem Ratzon, is it Doraisa D'Rabbanan Bizman HaZeh? It's focused on a carbon. And if you focus on the carbon and then you say to yourself, wait, but we don't bring the carbon anymore. Why don't we bring the carbon? Because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So the mood changes. And the mood changed on its own. And I want to say, and people can disagree with me, I want to say that, you know, history, the fact sometimes determine how we relate to something, right? People just started relating to Sfira Sa'omer slightly differently. Yes. And not to say anything crazy, but I think, you know, things are shifting bisman hazeh. The fact that Yom Ha'atzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim fall out during Sfira changes the tone. You know, and the idea, how can I? Well, of course you can. I went to a wedding. No. They're saying, you know, people say, how can I celebrate? Because if the sadness of Sfira Sa'omer is generated by Churban Beis HaMikdash, how could it be that Yom Yerushalayim doesn't change the mood? I think, I'm not here to say we should say Shechianu. By the way, most people think that the Shechianu you say on Shavuos is the Shechianu on Sfira. So when you finish Sfira, you make a Shechianu the next night. Yes.
You missed one day.
Okay, good point. Good point. You make Shechianu. But I do think there's a subtle shift. And so the bigger point I was trying to make was that I think irrespective of Rabbi Akiva and these things, you know, halacha is sensitive to the mood of the people. And there are two types of remembrances of the Beis HaMikdash. Again, there's the joyous remembrance of the Beis HaMikdash and the sad. And here I think, oh, and now let me make this the point I forgot, but I really wanted to make. We asked, what's Ameimar saying? You know, it's only Zecher LeMikdash, so I'm only going to count days. Pshat is, he wants you to be sad. He doesn't want, of course, anybody can count weeks. It's not a tircha. Why does he have a shita saying, I'm only counting days because it's Zecher LeMikdash? The answer is, yeah, you should remember, we're missing something. We're not able to do the full mitzvah. That's what he meant, right? I don't know who said this, but it was beautiful. I think that's really true. Ameimar says, it's only Zecher LeMikdash, so what? So other drabbanans, I only do partly? No. But if it's a sad mitzvah, if it reminds me of the Beis HaMikdash, Bechur Bana, if afterwards I'm going to say, Yi Ratzon Shi Bana Beis HaMikdash, because I'm sad, then Ameimar says it makes sense to do less than the whole mitzvah. It's almost like he would say, you know, if Lulav was a sad one, if Lulav was Zechel Churban and not Zechel Mikdash, so maybe he would say, nah, I'm Cholamon, you know, don't take Hadassim. That sounds crazy. But you'd be sad. You'd remind yourself then that we don't have the full mitzvah. And Ameimar, when he counted, he was reminding himself that he's not doing the full mitzvah. All right? Shkach to everybody.
Tada rabah.